Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
When tourists visit an imposing feature of natural beauty or some amazing building project, they are often overawed by the size and extent of what they see. They may have seen photos of this object before, but it's different when seeing the real thing. There's an English expression that says, seeing is believing, but as we hear today, it's not always true. In today's Bible adventure, taken from 2 Kings chapter 2, 50 men from the Jericho school of prophets, who saw Elijah carried up to heaven in a chariot of fire, found this vision very hard to believe. Earlier that day, these same men came to Elisha to tell him that Elijah would be taken from him that day. But although the 50 men saw Elijah disappear into the clouds and out of their sight, they also believed that every person had to leave this earth by means of a grave. So unbelieving were they of Elisha's explanation about Elijah's departure that they demanded a search be made for him, just in case the chariot of fire put him back down on the earth in another city. How often do we also limit our acceptance of God's ways by insisting that things be done one certain way?
I don't believe it. I just don't believe it.
I saw it. You saw it. 50 students and sons of the prophet saw it. Such a thing cannot happen. Yet it did.
Impossible.
Beliefs, impossibilities. Nothing can change facts. We saw Elijah leave the ground, go straight up in the air, and disappear in the clouds. It's a fact, so you have to believe
that. Yes, I saw Elijah disappear heavenward. I believe that.
But you said you don't believe.
Well, the thing I don't believe is that Elijah disappeared into the clouds on his way to heaven.
Oh, no one believes that.
Well, Elisha does, and so do a few of our fellow students.
But everyone knows the only way to heaven or to eternal destruction is through death and the grave. Nothing can change that fact, not even Elisha.
Oh, God can. He did with Enoch.
Then you believe Elijah went to heaven?
Oh, no, no, emphatically, no.
Right. You're right, I'm right, the people are right, in believing that Elijah did not go to heaven. You and I, as sons of the prophets and students in the school of the prophets, we have a duty. We must perform it.
Meaning?
Find out where Elijah actually went. Then tell the people. Let them know the truth. First, we'll go to Elisha.
Just us? The two of us?
No! All 50 of us will go. The 50 that stood afar off and actually witnessed what happened.
No. I cannot give my permission or lend my support to such a mission.
But we, and the people, want to know what happened to Elijah.
I've already told them. Explained the whole thing to them.
But they don't believe you. They're laughing, mocking, ridiculing the idea that Elijah went to heaven.
The answer is no.
You claim that the mantle you now wear, that was Elijah's, is a symbol of prophetic office?
God has seen fit to let me take Elijah's place.
As long as the people don't believe that God took Elijah, do you think they will believe you? Even listen to you?
They laugh at you.
Scorn you.
Ridicule you.
Make fun of you.
You have no influence at all.
None whatsoever.
You'll be insulted on every side.
Even the women and children have no respect or
belief. All right. You 50 men may search the land. Search every mountain, valley, crevice, everywhere. But ye shall not find Elijah. For truly the Lord God of Israel hath taken him by chariot into heaven.
Then went the 50 men and searched for Elijah throughout the land. 3 days they searched.
We found not Elijah. Surely the Lord God of Israel hath taken him by a chariot of fire into heaven.
The people of Israel still did not believe that God had taken Elijah home to heaven, or that the youthful Elisha was now God's chosen prophet. Nonetheless, when God let certain calamities befall Israel, they came straightway to Elisha.
Greetings, O great and mighty one, chosen of God. Jericho is a beautiful and pleasant city as thou seest. But we have no water to drink. The water of the spring has turned bad, and even the crops do not grow right. Our people are thirsty, our children are crying and sick, even unto death. If thou hast compassion for Israel, for Jericho, help us, we pray thee.
Bring unto me an earthen pot, one that has never been used, and put therein some salt.
Here you are, mighty prophet of God, a new pot filled with salt.
And Elisha went forth unto the spring and cast the salt into it, saying,
Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. The water shall flow forever. There shall never be any death or barren land nearby.
That spring, even to this day, gives its pure waters, making of the surrounding countryside a virtual oasis. Some people believed. Others were still unbelievers. Among the latter were young folk and children.
The young prophets of Israel, the lesson for today shall be the...
What? Did you hear what happened?
Shut the door.
But there were...
Shut the door!
Now, will you listen to me?
About what?
The children, the bears, and Elisha.
The children, the bears, and Elisha? What about the children and bears and Elisha?
42 of them were torn. 42.
Bears?
No, children. Two bears tore 42 children.
And Elisha?
No. He wasn't hurt. He caused the whole thing to happen.
He caused the two bears to tear 42 children? If this is true, he must have had a very good reason.
He cursed the children and the bears.
Elisha wouldn't curse.
Well, I mean, he pronounced a curse on them.
Oh, that's different. Go on.
Well, I talked to one of the older survivors, and he said that all they were doing was shouting at Elijah, and he just didn't like it.
What were they shouting at Elisha? Did the boy tell you that?
Yes. Well, they were shouting, Go up into the heavens, thou bald head. Oh,
these young people, do you realize what they were actually doing and saying?
Yes, having a little fun, I suppose.
They were making fun of Elisha's contention that Elijah had ascended into heaven. They were mocking a prophet of God. They were showing disrespect for authority. In ridiculing a representative of God, they were, in effect, ridiculing God himself. Had Elisha allowed this mockery to go unnoticed or unpunished, he would have continued to be ridiculed for the rest of his life, and his influence would have been impaired. His mission to instruct and save Israel in a time of grave national peril might have been defeated. This one instance of severe punishment for a grave sin against God and the authority of his anointed will probably be enough to command respect for the rest of Elisha's life.
And it was so. For 50 years, Elisha went in and out of the cities of Israel. He went to and fro in the land, passing through crowds of idle, rude, dissolute youth. But none mocked him or made light of his qualifications as the prophet of the Most High.
Shh! It's Elisha.
Good afternoon, Elisha, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon.
After Elisha received Elijah's mantle, Elisha returned to the Jordan River. He called upon Elijah's God and struck the waters just as Elijah had done only a little while before. The waters parted and he was able to cross back. When the Jericho sons of the prophets saw what Elisha had done, they believed then that the spirit of Elijah was resting on Elisha. Elisha's first miracle had already happened. Elisha didn't build a monument to Elijah at the place where he was taken up to heaven. Instead, Elisha trusted Elijah's God and did miracles to help people. We can't live in the past, on the past, or for the past. We must accept the heritage of the past and trust God for power for living today. For Elisha, there were problems to solve and needs to be met, and he trusted God to help him do this. God's servants may leave us here on earth, but God's Spirit keeps on working. Elisha returned with the 50 witnesses to Elijah's ascension in Jericho. The city of Jericho is about 8 miles northwest of the most northerly part of the Dead Sea. Now, at that time, the people in Jericho had a problem with their water supply. The water was bad for their health and farming, so they asked Elisha to help them. He poured salt into the water as he spoke aloud God's words of promise. God healed the water, and the people had no more trouble with it. Salt is the symbol of God's purifying power, but it was God who healed the waters and not the salt. When Elisha then set out from Jericho to Bethel, a group of boys came out of the city and mocked him. They showed him great disrespect. Although Elisha had just done a miracle to fix their water supply, they weren't grateful at all. Those boys were old enough to know better. They mocked Elijah's going to heaven and Elisha's personal appearance, and God rightly judged them for it. These days, God appears more patient with mockers, but one day he promises that his judgment will fall on them. In the New Testament letter to the Galatians, chapter 6, it says, "Do not deceive yourselves. No one makes a fool of God. You'll reap exactly what you plant." It's true that children don't need to be taught to do bad things, as these come naturally from their internal sin nature, even when they're still too young to walk or talk. Parents need to spend vast amounts of time teaching their children good manners and respect for other people, alongside a good understanding of the Bible knowledge. How terrible it will be for neglectful parents on Judgment Day when they see their children condemned to punishment because of their own bad example, carelessness, or wrong teaching. Elisha had been the new prophet of God for only a few days. Why didn't these mocking boys show respect for him? They had, after all, seen Elisha and Elijah many times as they travelled together from city to city. It might have been Elisha's young age that caused these boys' families to be less than accepting of him. Wrong attitudes and prejudices held by parents can be passed down to the next generation very easily. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul spoke to young Timothy in the first letter to Timothy, chapter 4, saying, "Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but be an example for the believers in your speech, your conduct, your love, faith, and purity." We gain respect in much the same way we give it, by building our lives on God's word, treating others the same way that we'd like to be treated, standing up for the truth no matter what, and not compromising our character. When the Lord Jesus had been condemned to death and handed over to the Roman soldiers for crucifixion, the soldiers also mocked Jesus. They took off Jesus' clothes and put a purple robe on him instead as a symbol of kingship, a crown of thorny branches on his head, and a stick for a scepter in his right hand. Then they knelt before him and made fun of him, saying, "Long live the King of the Jews!" What utter disrespect for the Creator of the universe. Later, after being nailed to a cross, Jesus prayed, "Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing." We show our respect for God by giving him honor and worshiping him. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16 it says, "Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he's done." Seeking God's guidance shows that we respect God's ways and desire to follow them. Have you ever given any thought to the unequaled greatness of God? His ability to know everything, to be everywhere, and having no possibility of ever sinning makes him the very greatest and over everything. He knew about the end of the world before it began. Give him praise and respect today. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. If you'd like to receive a free booklet, then write to this station and ask for it, but be sure to print your name and address. Or you can write to John, Post Office Box 2370, Brookside Centre, Australia, 4053. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.